receive the communion in the presence of Christ through word and sacrament. Take a moment in this silence and ask the Holy Spirit to bless us each in worship. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father and Mother, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Giver of this and every moment, we thank you for calling us to be the body of Christ at this moment and this place. Open our hearts to receive your word, to feel your living presence in the communion of one another, in the company of your Eucharist. Send us home changed, never the same, fed by your word and living presence, and bless all those who cannot be here, especially those who are cold and suffering. We ask this in your most holy and loving threefold name, our family name, Abba Transcendent, Omnipresent Son, Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you consider that God is righteous, you also know that everyone who acts in righteousness is begotten by him. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who remains in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or known him. The word of the Lord. Our responsorial psalm is Psalm 98. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song. Sing praise. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. Sing praise to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn, sing joyfully before the King, the Lord. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. To those who accepted him, he gave power to become the children of God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him. I did not know him, But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
The connecting theme between the epistle reading from 1 John and the gospel reading is from Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they," you know it, "will see God." It's one of those foundational scriptures theologically that Father Thomas has used to interpret the power of centering prayer in terms of transforming and cleansing our emotions. The purity of heart that allows us to see. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever seen someone and got it wrong, got them wrong? Have you ever had a problem with judging a particular person based on their appearance? Have you ever realized that perhaps the way you see the world may not be 100% accurate or God's anointed view? There's something about our perception that is related to our emotional center, our quality of being. In other words, we see where we be. And to a large extent, we see what we be. We see where we be, that is to say, our state of emotions, our state of mind. You could just say our level of consciousness, the way in which we're perceiving things. This is very important if you're in a relationship, if you're in the journey of marriage, if you're working with a colleague, if you're a human being living on this planet. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see the truth of what others be at all times? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see the divine image that is others' being at all times? It'd be paradise. It'd be heaven on earth. This is what we can aspire to. This is what we work for. This is what we consent to the presence of God, healing us little by little of the lenses of perception that lead to judgment and fear, versus acceptance and love. Shannon and I zoomed up to Milwaukee last Thursday to visit my family. And Shannon's colleague said, "Why are you going to Milwaukee?" The high was what, -3? It's very cold. We rented this little Jetta. And it was so cold outside that the windows wouldn't defrost. And the only way Shannon could figure out how to defrost the windows while I was driving down the highway was to roll the windows down, which didn't make any sense. Sight is so important to see where we wish to go. We got up to Milwaukee, and I was really looking forward to visiting with my sister, Hansi. They made a major move with three kids, 13, 11, and 4. They moved from Kansas City to Milwaukee, uprooting after 3 years of life in Kansas City. I wanted to visit with her and ask her, why did you make this decision? It was a very sudden decision. And this is what she told me. She told us. She said, we were in England for a seminar for 2 weeks that their church had sent them to. And then on their way back, the weather delayed them and they had to have an emergency landing in Iceland. And the airlines gave them 2 or 3 days on the airline to stay in Iceland. And Hansi and her husband had been in a season of discernment, trying to see the future for their life, trying to make decisions about what they were doing with their talents as they approached 40 years old, as they try and figure out what to do with their life. And God plunked them down in Iceland for 3 days. And this is what my sister said. She said, she showed me a picture, and she was in a field in Iceland that looked like the desert, and her arms were outstretched. And she said, Peter, when I was there, it was like I was in the desert. It was like the barrenness of the desert. And I finally heard the Spirit speaking to me and gave me the courage to make a major life decision. These sorts of things happen to us all the time. It could happen sitting in the car, driving in traffic. It could happen walking down the street as it did to Thomas Merton, connecting with the oneness all of a sudden. It could happen listening to music. It could happen reading. It could happen at Eucharist and worship. It could happen in prayer. Don't put boundaries on God, and don't put boundaries on yourself of when you can see the truth, what God wishes you to be and become. It can come in a moment to anyone, even the unrighteous, even the fragmented internally. It can come to anyone. The desert quality of Iceland apparently evoked the sense of awe and bigness that cracked my sister's heart open and her husband. That territory of vastness, which is so essential for going on retreats, especially going to the desert, connects us to the great monastic desert tradition of the spiritual fathers of the Christian church, of which John the Baptist is certainly, one can make a great case, the founder. John the Baptist lived out in the wilderness under a certain rule of life, you might say, following the Word of God, eating the Word of God, so to speak, living on it, living on the presence of Christ. He wouldn't have called it Christ. He would have called it the presence of God, the Shekinah glory that he felt within. And he was drawn like a magnet to what God was doing then and there, in time and space, in history. And he became a player on the stage of God's great drama because he was attuned to the mystery and presence and action of God. Perhaps, because he was out in the wilderness for a spell of time. It is this barrenness, a season of taking rest, taking retreat, getting out of our normal routines and rituals and busyness and all the pressures of day-to-day life, getting away from it so we can see a little more clearly ourselves, our situations, our world, our life, and be a little bit differently. Now here's the profound, profound invitation of Christianity, and not only Christianity, the spiritual traditions of this planet. Though they use different words, they're talking about the same truth. Here it is. Beloved, we are God's children now. That's who you be. That's who everyone be. But our seeing gets in the way. Hello, you are God's child now. Don't act like an infant. But you are loved, beloved. That's what the prophets are here to remind us of. That's what Jesus is here to demonstrate. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We are children of God. What we shall be, what we shall become, has yet to be revealed. Sit in the silence. Listen. Go to the desert. Discover. Discern. See. There it is. We do know that when it is revealed who we will be, we shall be like Him. That's grace. In other words, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You will literally be more Christ. There will be more Christ in you and less of you. And because of that new reality, you won't see as you used to see. You will see now as you be in a new way. Less of I, more of Christ. And one last thing to ponder on this chilly night. John's asceticism, his practice, his spiritual practice, inspires me with the acknowledgement that I am invited to participate in a deeper reality, the field of knowing, the field of divine love. I'm invited to participate in that. And the doorway, or at least one of the doorways, into participating in that field of seeing and knowing and experiencing the spiritual reality, of seeing in a spiritual way, one of the doorways to enter into that participation is through spiritual practice, asceticism. Limiting certain things in my life that cloud my spiritual capacity to see. John inspires me with such clarity of sight that he could see through all the nonsense of the religion. That's the Christ, right there. He could see the anointing of the Spirit of God upon the man Jesus. And how many people missed it? Because they were eating and drinking and being merry, hurrying and scurrying and looking and giving their attention to everything that glitters and calls for our attention. I'm not saying move to the desert. I'm saying bring more of the desert here. I'm not saying go to the monastery. I'm saying bring more of the monastery here. I'm not saying die to yourself so that you literally become miserable. I'm saying let go of what's hindering spiritual sight. And let the Spirit of God show you what that might be to let go of. The possibility of participating in a community that can see spiritually, that can discern and perceive the truth of each of our being, looking deeper than the surface personality stuff, looking deeper than the frictions of life, looking beyond the appearance of face and body, which change, which comes and goes. Charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, but a woman or man who fears the Lord, who sees spiritual reality, is to be honored and cherished. Cultivate that disposition. I wish to as well. As a 4 on the Enneagram, sense perception is very important to me. Shannon would tell you that I drive her nuts by needing the lights a certain way. Too bright, I go crazy. I'm very sense-based, sight-based. Most of us are. The work gave me a gift, but the teaching of transforming incoming impressions, which is the work's way of saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Each of us will discover new dimensions of reality, new dimensions of understanding God, new experiences of one another, new experiences of self, as our filters and lenses are cleansed of self, the gunk of a lifetime, the fears that keep us from moving and seeing, the appetites that weigh us down, that we might be a seeing community, a seeing people. Evolution, spiritual evolution, you'll hear this word very soon, for the future of this church, symbolized by the baptism of the water and the baptism of the Spirit. It's okay to be at the water level. But if you could evolve by God's grace to the Spirit level, wouldn't you want to? I do. The Spirit of God is beyond consciousness. Self and consciousness go hand in hand. They're twinned. Spirit of God transcends self and consciousness and all the programming and wounds and fears and desires and memories and experiences of a lifetime. And thus, spiritual maturity is evolution from water consciousness, which reflects upon itself, consciousness is with knowing, to spirit consciousness, pure intuition, like a flash of lightning. Happy New Year. I look forward to a seeing year together. And may the Holy Spirit anoint each of us and take us to places we never could have imagined, even by way of Iceland. Amen. The love, the joy, the grace, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is yours tonight and always.